Okay, so tell me about the book you're reading right now.
I would love to.
I haven't read very much of it.
So it's Just Like Home, and I'm just going to show up because I'm annoying.
Yeah.
Most beautiful book cover I've ever seen in my entire life, and that is why I picked it up, and I am judging the book by the cover. But from what I've gotten, this girl's dad is a serial killer.
Love this. I'm on board.
He is dead. And okay. So her mom, who seems to suck, has been like, hey, come home. I'm dying and I need you to get stuff out of this house before I die.
Okay.
So she's going back home, obviously painful. Her mom keeps like randos in the guest house, like people who are like interested in true crime or like artists. She like lets them live in the home.
Oh, so her mom or her dad was like a notable.
Yeah.
Serious, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They found a bunch of bodies like under the house or the backyard or something.
Okay. I got you. I'm on board.
Yeah. So that is about all I've established, except she's now hearing things and seeing things. And I think this might be a ghost story.
Mm.
I didn't know that. I thought it was like perhaps another serial killer was in the house. Like I thought maybe like mystery serial killer-esque book. But now I'm thinking that there is a ghost in this book and I'm reading a ghost story and that's going to freak me out, but it's fine.
I'm going to tell you right now, that was my first thought when I saw that cover. It's giving me Haunting of Hill House vibes, though.
I mean, I get that, but I just thought that was because he killed a bunch of people.
I mean, that is probably what it is, but my first thought was, like, haunt. That is haunted.
Well, again, it's not my business.
It's not your business till you get there.
Yeah, so it's like a parasitic artist has moved into the guest house out back and is slowly stripping Vera's childhood for spare parts. He insists that he isn't the one leaving notes around the house in her father's handwriting, but who else could it possibly be? So I read that and I was like, oh, it's a sketch artist. A sketch artist.
Oh.
A sketchy artist, like, living in the backyard, playing pranks. Haha, Delvin. Yeah. You little mercurial. I don't know what that means. But now I'm like, oh, no, it's like for sure a ghost of her dad. I don't, again.
Is she gonna is he trying to kill people?
I'm nowhere in this book.
Okay.
She has just tried to go to sleep in a bedroom and the bed's making noises from across the room. And I'm like, I have to put this book down. I'm terrified.
Yeah.
So I'm committed to reading this part. This is the book that I have chosen to finish first for the year. I'm so scared of it. And then I just casually looked it up on Goodreads today. Not good reviews.
Fuck.
They're okay,
it was a marketing choice to write a book like this and have it pink.
All of the reviews go, this book is the most beautiful book cover I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, that's exactly why I got it. It is perfect bookshelf book. Can shove it in a coffee table. It's beautiful. Because it's got the, like, murder for the girls. Which I love.
Having such, like... I would think that there's romance in that for sure.
Yes, but not why I went into it. I went into it thinking it was going to just be, like, kind of, like, Mindhunter-y.
Yeah, not that, like, that's why you went into it, but just, like, I wouldn't expect it to be terrifying based on the tone of pink.
No, but I'm already very scared, but I am also easily scared by things.
Yeah. That's so funny you say that because the most terrifying movies I've ever seen have all been with you.
Those are comfort watches. If you watch them enough, it takes it away.
Okay.
I don't have nightmares about The Shining anymore.
Anymore?
No. Now what are my nightmares like now?
Weddings.
I was going to say,
is it all wedding stuff?
Yeah. Yesterday's nightmare was that it was the month before the wedding and I forgot to tell you guys to order bridesmaid dresses. Yeah, I do tend... I like watching horror stuff. Like, I love watching it. It ruins my life. I do not sleep. Like, I got really into these, like, found footage films called Hell House, LLC.
No.
Melissa, you... No. They were so good and so bad. They're so...
I used to think that, like, demons cute. Were, like, my cutoff for...
Yeah. Is it ghosts?
No, it's found footage.
See, this is my first exploration into found footage.
That I have an issue with. Like, Barbarian...
Oh.
Dipped its toes into it. But there was enough that wasn't found footage that, like, I was able to tolerate it.
And you had, like, Justin Long and one of the clown.
Bill Skarsgård.
Skarsgård, thank you.
So that, like, that gives you that, like, okay, this isn't it's real.
Easier to ground.
Yeah. The found footage that is, like, real people that I've never seen before in my life.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm exploring into Hell House. Incredible. I would never say good movies. I finally watched the prequel that came out because everyone was like, this movie's phenomenal. And I was like, that's really weird because nobody in my home has found any of the Hell Houses to be that good. And then I watched it. I was like, oh, this is fine. The first one is just so good. So, so good.
I think the thing is with, like, with horror genres and horror styles and stuff, once you figure out what you like and, like, you figure out, like, your niche, that's probably why these people are saying, like, oh, it's probably because they're, like, found footage gurus.
Yeah, but I get it. I do. I just am, like, I've watched the other three. This is now the fourth movie in it. Is it doing anything different? No.
Yeah.
Am I screaming every time that the clown shows up? 100%. And I will always.
It's a clown?
Listen, I can't explain the clown.
Okay.
The clown is a mannequin in this house. Okay. The clown, nobody put it there. It just is there. The prequel one kind of reveals what the clown is, but it's...
What is it?
A mentally ill ghost. See, I think you should watch it.
I just want to see the prequel.
That's fine. You watch that first, but like...
That's... I don't know. I expected you to say.
I think these were, like, very low budge, and I think that that was what made them fine for me, but I was screaming in my home, which is fun. I enjoy that, and then I don't sleep, and it's cool, whatever.
Would you say you have a higher or lower tolerance for, like, book horror versus, like, visual horror?
I'm scared of everything.
Okay, so that's fair. Because I'm better at tolerating, like, horror in books.
Okay.
And I think a little bit about that is, like, being able to pace myself with it. Whereas, like, when it's a movie, you either have to pause or you just have to take it the way that they're giving it to
you. Well, that's what I like about the movie format for it, is that it is forcing me to get through it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a pause person, usually, because I can't find the remote.
Yes.
So it's just, I've started doing, like, pacing in my apartment. Like, pacing into the kitchen and doing this and being like,
yeah.
Like, I can't. But like with the book, if I get too scared like this, like I, the second I figured out it was a ghost, I was like, I can't read this tonight. Like, yeah. I can't, that's all I'm going to think about. So I don't know. I'm going to push myself through this because like the writing style so far, I'm two chapters in, but I've enjoyed it. The mom seems like the worst person on the planet. She goes, you don't have to call me mom.
Oh my God.
Like, well, all right, then I won't. You're not a stepmother, so I don't really understand, but okay. I don't know. I'm excited to do this because this will be one of my first like non-romance books in a long time because I love romance. Yeah. I also feel like I get obsessed into one genre. Like I was really into self-help and now I'm really into romance, but now like it's getting a little like oversaturated for me. I'm getting the same kind of stories and like tropes, which is...
Yeah.
A trope that's done well and differently, I enjoy. But if it's the same thing over and over again, not into it. Which, I have one more book rec for you.
Okay.
I think you'll like. Okay. It's called Business or Pleasure.
I love it already.
I'm
really into workplace romance in TV. I haven't ventured into it in books yet, and I need to. I know that I need to. That's kind of one of my, like, unofficial reading goals for this year.
So, workplace is loose. Okay. Main character girl is a ghostwriter for celebrities.
Okay.
So, like, yes, in the sense that she's ghostwriting this guy's book. It is workplace, but it is not, like, office romance.
Okay.
Which probably wouldn't resonate for you anyways because you don't really work
in an office
with people.
But I fucking love... Like, I love, like, touting the line of ethics on, like...
Oh, no.
Like, business partnerships when it comes to... Like, yeah. Like, I get really into K-dramas that have the workplace romance.
Okay.
And I'm just like, what is it about, like, being in the office and, like, the threat of HR that has me so hot and bothered by
this I have great show? News. HR
does not care.
Doesn't seem to do a whole lot anywhere I've worked.
Yep.
But what I really liked about Business or Pleasure, that is something I have been saying for years. I need romance books that are more realistic, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to, like, sexual intimacy.
Yes.
Because it's always like, oh, it was perfect and beautiful and we were meant together and all that. This first book, she goes, this man is so laughably bad at sex. I am never seeing him again. Like, she goes, he licked my torso. Why do you do that? Like, crazy bad.
Poor man learned from porn.
Oh, it's so funny. And so later she, like, for I don't remember what drove them to this, probably their ghostwriting interaction.
Yeah.
She was like, has anyone ever said anything? He goes, yeah, they said I was good. And she goes, no.
So oh, no.
The main plot of this is her basically trying to teach him how to be a normal person having sex. Listen. I just loved the realism of, like, it was terrible. I don't want to see this man again. And then she finds out who that man is, and now she has to do this for him. She's like, oh, this has to be addressed. But, like, great communication between them through the book. Like, really healthy. Enjoyed it a lot.
Nice. Okay.
And all the bad reviews I read were like, this was boring. And I'm like, this is real life, babes. This is what I want. Give me a boring everyday. Like, obviously, it's not everyday because it's celebrity ghostwriting. Yeah. Me loving author or book industry books.
Yeah.
But really, really good time.
Okay, cool.
Would recommend, very easy read.
Nice. Yeah. So the actual current book that, like, I'm actively reading right now is Fragile Threads of Power.
Okay.
Which is...
You said that's one of your three books? Or separate?
This is separate. Okay. So this is just, like, a book.
Okay.
So this is... a sequel series. So there's The Darker Shades of Power, which is a trilogy that came out like 7 or 8 years ago. I think 8 years ago now. And so that series is, it like crosses those lines of like magic, no magic. So it's set in like 18th century London. King George III is the king. So I guess long 18th century. So 19th century London.
Okay.
Sorry, that was my academic.
I know, I was like, well, look at you applying your degree.
Yes. just... yes. So, it starts out there with Lila Bard. And she's just, like, a petty thief and everything. And then we get the secondary, like, main character, which is Kel. And he comes from Red London. So this is Grey London, our London. No magic, all dark and dreary.
I feel like you've talked to me about this concept before.
I think I have.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, like, the whole idea is that there's, like, separate, like, universes kind of on top of each other.
Okay.
And they've got, like, meeting points where there's the same thing.
Oh.
And so, in all four Londons...
Four Londons.
There's four. So, there's Grey London, Red London, White London, and Black London.
Okay.
Black... That whole universe doesn't exist anymore.
Wonderful.
And we kind of get, like, the why later on.
Okay.
But, Grey London doesn't have any magic.
Okay.
Red London has the most magic.
Okay.
And White London, like, their magic is just being drained.
Nice.
And so Kel comes from Red London, and he's, like, a ward of the king and queen there. And he is what's called an Antari within the book. And within the universe. And so, like, every universe has them.
Okay.
And they're the only ones able to move between the universes. They can, like, create doors and move between them. There used to be a lot more, but, like, in recent centuries, they've depleted. And so in, like, eventually the plot moves into Red London because that's got the most magic, so obviously most plot, right?
Yeah.
And when we see the magic there, when we see how it plays out, it's, like, kind of structure like Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh,
yes. Well, in that, like, you can have one element that you, like, have magic over, or you can have a couple, or you can have, like, three. It's really uncommon to have four.
Okay.
Antari always have four because they've got the door, they've got, like, the most power within them.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so it was kind of, like, a politically driven drama in that, like, because the main characters can travel between the worlds, they can travel between the political conflicts, and that starts its own conflict.
Okay.
But it's all based around magic and, like, the source of magic and all that. Really good first trilogy. Loved the first trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I have the original trilogy in paperback, and so I have not bought the book yet. I just have it through the library because they only have it through
hardcover,
which yeah. I hate that they're doing that lately. Just let me have the paperback.
I know, I'm
let
paperback
me have girl day, too. Let me have it from day one in the paperback.
Correct.
And like if I've got like the hardcover in the first book or something, I just need the rest of them to be
I need them to match.
I need them to match, yes. And so I don't want to buy them until I've got the paperback for it.
Yeah.
And so this first book is just so slow. I didn't finish it in the 2 weeks that I had it the first time.
Yikes.
So I just got it back. This was like in November, so I had to wait like 8 weeks to get it back because
holds. I get it.
So many holds because it was just released. Mm-hmm. And they've even gotten more copies since I had to recheck it out.
Yeah.
So she divides them into like the book is probably about, and the ebook version is like a little over 500 pages or almost 500 pages.
Okay.
And she divides it into parts and chapters. So the chapters are relatively short sometimes.
Yeah.
But then the parts themselves, so there's like 12 parts in the book, mm-hmm. and they're just like little chunks, like little,
makes sense.
Like scenes basically, or like little mini acts and stuff.
Yeah.
I just finished part 6. Part 6 is where I left off when I lost the book the first time. And that was right when the plot started to pick up. So this is the halfway part, like, point of the book. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, honestly so amazed because the first book was so good from, like, page one. Mm-hmm. But in this one, she's introduced, like, so many new characters. Like, too many. Ugh. And it's, like, there was one character who, like, was introduced almost the very, very first chapter. And so you're thinking he's going to be important. And he keeps having, like, point of view chapters come up. And then he dies. I'm like, why did I need that many points of view from him? And that much backstory from him if he was gonna die?
Do you feel like you were attached to him when he did?
Not really.
Wonderful.
Yes.
So not a lot of good work was put into that.
Yeah, like there wasn't like an emotional output with that. He didn't seem that likable. I kind of just pitied him. Oh. Like he...
Especially now that he's dead, huh?
Yeah, well, and if you are reading this book or if you're planning to, it is good. I'm going to give a slight spoiler, so, because I already said he died, so I want to say which character this is, just for a second, just to, like,
live your life.
Yeah. So, he's introduced, and there's, like, this plot going on to take down the king, because they blame him for their depleting magic, because now red magic, or, like, the red London, what it turns out is that, like, it's magic just, like, magic just goes like this.
Oh.
It just ebbs and flows.
Sweet.
But because they've got a king who doesn't have magic... They're saying it's his fault that, like, magic is depleting. It's like, no, it just ebbs and flows.
Okay.
But he had joined, like, this underground group of people trying to take out the king.
Okay.
And we get, like, his, like, internal stuff where he thinks about, like, his father and, like, his father crying when he left because he doesn't believe in what he believes in. And he hopes his father will be proud of him when they're all done. And, like, and so, like, even though you know, because, like, the king is one of the, like, protagonists, and so you're actively seeing, like, an enemy's point of view. And I can get doing that for a couple of chapters. I think there was just, like, too many chapters where we got that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, I don't think it needed to be emphasized that much in the, like, I don't think that many pages needed to be dedicated to this, because there's, like, the plot that's going, because he's, like, going to steal stuff because mm-hmm. they need to use like this magic thing because only Antari can make doors.
Yeah.
But there's this one secret magic item that's been hidden that like him and some of the like rebels are going to look for. And so we get the whole trip for that. And I'm like, I don't think we need every single moment on this. Yeah. I think we can jump ahead pretty easily and like, oh, okay, now he's working with these rebels and they're kind of dickbags. I don't need to see him getting on the ship and meeting them and doing all of that. Mm-hmm. And so that was really frustrating because I was like, what? Like, I'm reading through this because I expect him to, like, be further important.
Yeah.
And then he dies and I was like, I can't.
See, I love the heartbreak of a character that gets introduced and you're like, this person's sticking around and then suddenly they're gone and you're like, no. But you have to make me, like, feel something for that character, not just give me his, like, day plan.
Yeah, and like I mean like I pitied him in that like you can see he's so devoted to this cause, but you know it's not gonna work out because he can't die. There's a, like a very specific plot reason why he can't die, and they don't know that.
But then he does anyways.
The king, no.
Oh, the king.
The king can't die.
It's like, but he does, you just told me he
did. Like the king can't die. And then there's like a very specific reason why he can't die. And getting a door there isn't going to change anything.
You know, these books, I'm sure, are very good. Very confusing when you have not read any of them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The magic systems seem to all function differently in the books you're reading.
Yeah, which is why it's so easy to read so many at once, because I can very easily, like, differentiate between them.
I have noticed that I'm getting to the point where even if the books are vastly different, I am now thinking that one thing happened in the other book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Like, I thought Marissa Tomei was in Valentine's Day. I'm sure she is in something similar. It could be that she's in New Year's Day. It could be that mixing up Crazy Stupid Love. Also in that mob movie where she talks about cars.
Yeah, she's in My Cousin Vinny.
That she doesn't look like her in that. That's crazy.
First of all, that's the only way I knew Marissa Tomei for many years. I love Marissa Tomei.
I knew Marissa Tomei from Crazy Stupid Love first, and then Spider-Man.
That's how you knew her first?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Okay.
That is utterly insane to
me. Valentine's Day. That's what I know her from.
I think you are confusing Valentine's Day and Crazy Stupid Love with those two.
It's gotta be those two, but it could, like, New Year's Day is the same concept. She might be in that one.
Ooh, let's see. Is she in New Year's Day?
She might be in that one.
I never saw New Year's Day because I was like, I saw Valentine's Day and I was like, that was not the vibe.
That one was confusing. Dakota Johnson's in that, I think.
New Year's Day?
Or she is in That Awkward Moment. Could be either of them.
I think she's in That Awkward Moment.
I think that also happens on New Year's. So that's what's... This is what I'm saying. I can't keep stuff straight. But New Year's Day is not memorable. Like Valentine's Day, I feel like, was relatively memorable.
Apparently, there's been not as many movies like this as we thought. What year did this come out?
After Valentine's Day. Like a year or two later.
I'm just gonna Google New Year's Day movie.
Yeah.
Well, IMDb wasn't giving it to me. Usually, that's my trusted. 2011, Jesus.
That tracks.
That one also has Jessica Biel.
Maybe I think Jessica Biel and Marissa Tomei are the same person. Maybe I haven't been mixing up with Jessica Alba this whole time. It's been Marissa Tomei.
Maybe it has. Let's see, I'm just going to search for Jessica Biel and look for that movie, because maybe that'll get me it.
Man, I don't know. Can I just say, it's insane that your family uses military time on your clocks.
I set that up.
I can't stand that. That makes me so confused. I don't know what time it is. And that's simply not my business, I guess.
It's 9 p.m.
Oh, I can't see that far.
That's fair. 2011. So New Year's Eve.
I'm going to weirdly eat this cracker right now.
Here, go for it.
I told you.
Is it the same characters that they're playing?
No.
It's not?
I don't think so.
Well, because they've also got Ashton Kutcher in it again.
Maybe it is. I don't remember that movie at all. That would be silly to do the same movie but New Year's Day.
Why don't I just actually go look at Marissa Tomei?
Go for it.
That would be a lot easier.
Because it turns out IMDb's lying. She's obviously in these movies.
Yeah. Obviously, My Cousin Vinny is the first one listed for her. Obviously. Or like is her most like notable. She won an Oscar for that.
Okay, I just don't think that looks like her.
I also
thought she was 30, so that didn't seem likely that she was in that movie.
Yeah.
They kept saying, that's aged. Marissa Tomei, and I say, if you say so, there must be two of them.
So well.
Yeah.
The Pocket Podcast. Is that what it says? No, the Pack Podcast.
It that doesn't
makes
matter.
More sense. She's in King of Staten Island.
Yeah.
She's in Avengers Endgame, obviously.
Yeah, all the Spider-Man-based things. Yeah.
I Hate Kids, Dark Was the Night.
Me too. Oh.
The First Purge, Handmaid's Tale.
Haven't seen it.
Me either. After Everything, we've got Empire. Oh, I didn't know she was in Empire. The Big Short.
I just watched that.
Tell me who Marissa Tomei was in that then.
There is a huge chance she was herself in it. Oh, no, she was Steve Carell's wife.
Really?
Yeah.
After Crazy Stupid Love.
She was not Steve Carell's wife in that. She was Steve Carell's hookup in that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That was, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. She was in Trainwreck, The Rewrite. I'm just, like, skipping some. I'm scanning them, so.
That's fine.
Parental Guidance, Inescapable, Crazy Stupid Love, Amsterdam, The Wrestler, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Okay.
She was in Wild Hogs. I forgot
that. Oh, yeah. She was in Wild Hogs. I love that movie.
That's a really good movie. That's, like, such a dumb movie.
That is such a my dad movie.
Yes.
Like, it's, well, Tim Allen. Tim Allen is my father.
The only time I've ever seen that movie has been in the presence of my father.
Oh, I watched it by myself. I like that movie. I also like that they have Tyson Richter. What's the guy? Tyson who does The House, Home Makeover, Extreme Makeover Home Edition with Tyson. Ty Pennington. Now here's a question. Who's Tyson Richter? Who is that? My brain is a constant puzzle. I don't know, man. I like that Ty Pennington was in it. I also like that Ty Pennington's getting roasted right now for how damaging that show was to people's lives.
Was it really?
All of those extreme, like, home or car makeover shows, like, actively were ruining people's lives because, one, their home property value was skyrocketing, and so then it, like, screwed up their taxes and stuff. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. And then with, like, the car stuff, they, like, would take all the stuff back out of the car on, like, Pimp My Ride. So they'd put all that stuff in, and then they would take all the stuff out, and basically you would just have a non-functioning vehicle with a grill in the back.
Oh my god!
And, like, they would put all the hookups in for the TVs and then take the TVs out because you weren't allowed to keep them. And then there's the one show where they, like, come in and decorate your home for you. And it was just heinous. Like, the woman, this one episode, she put hay all over the walls.
Oh my god!
And they're like, this is a fire hazard.
Yeah, it fucking is.
It's awful. Those are my favorite on TikTok.
You might be thinking of Tyson Ritter, as in the lead vocalist of All American Rejects.
That's 100%. I love that man. That makes so much more sense because I am in love with him. Bless you.
Thank you.
Ugh. I cannot stress how talented the All American Rejects are. Cannot stress it enough. I've seen them 15 years apart. Incredible.
I'm still in love with Tyson Ritter.
Oh, he is.
If we want to talk about, like, liking super skinny men... That man's all bone. All bone.
Yeah. That man looks like he's done heroin.
He looks like he'd blow away in the wind.
He's...
My ideal man.
I love it. I'm obsessed with him. And his stage persona is incredible.
I've never seen him live, but I want to.
He's so mean. He very much gives, like, rock star I don't like you, but in a fun way.
Okay.
Also, for when we were young, everyone dressed up as old people for it because the joke was that we're not young anymore. And all the people who saw it on Instagram were like, wow, he's aged really poorly. And everyone who went was like, those are prosthetics. What are you talking about?
He's aged like fucking fine wine.
He looks exactly the same. I love him.
Damn.
See, like, he could be a hall pass. Back to that conversation. Because
you think you got a shot with him?
No. But that's the point. I'm saying it's not like... But it's not unreasonable. Like, I'm not out here saying, like,
no, because you hot did man that match with like. The guy from the Struts on Tinder.
I which did. Means, it's achievable for me.
Which means it is achievable for
he
you.
He didn't yeah. message me back, but, you know, step one. That's partially on my messaging skills because I actively was like, oh my god, I used to live in Manchester. And I think in his head he was like, yeah, okay, I'm a celebrity. And I was like...
Why was he a celebrity on Tinder? He 100% should have been.
Because at that point, he was just a man with a hobby. It was before their first single came out. And before he did the, like, combo with Kesha.
Got you.
So it was like, he was on the precipice. Like, they were here, I think, to launch their single.
Here in Arizona?
While traveling through the U.S.
Yeah.
Like, touring before it launched. But in my head, I was like, this is a skinny British guy who's in a band. How nice. He has interests. But that's okay. But yeah, I mean, I've come close. I've seen Kennedy from the Main on Tinder for years. He would not match with me.
Oh.
No matter how hard I tried. But, like, I think Tyson Ritter is an achievable distance. I would it would have to require a lot of work from me, mm-hmm. but it could happen.
See, his energy, like, I'm fully not disagreeing with you. His energy gives down to fuck.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I think in that sense, because in one sense, I'm like, he seems like he's the same age he was when we were teenagers.
But he never hooked up with teenagers, so.
Exactly, but he never hooked up with teenagers, and so that's, like, a major green flag for me. And then he just, you know, maybe I should search for, like, a musician romance with, like, him coded.
I would love to support you in this.
Mm-hmm.
I, however, did just leave a scathing review on a musician romance. The most scathing. One star.
Ooh, wow. Okay. I don't think I've ever given anything less than 3 stars. And, like, it's not, like, 3 stars is my lowest. It's, like, I've never really read anything where I felt that impassioned.
Well, there was the Hooked book where the first thing I did was go to Goodreads and write a negative 2-star review.
Yeah.
And then never wrote a review since then, so I've tried to fix that by writing positive ones. But I was like, you know what? I was recommended this stupid book. It's called Drive.
Okay.
It's so hard to find.
Oh, God. Great first step. Yes.
Honestly, for the best. It was recommended to me by one of Sean's, like, friends from high school that's, like, a grown-up who reads all the time. So I was like, oh, maybe she and I can become friends. Like, that would be cool to have another, like, booky friend.
Yeah.
I will not be speaking to this woman. Forget after this book. I am furious. You know those people on Facebook that, like, are from high school? They have, like, kids with some guy that's, like, sucks. And they're, like, one day posting about how in love they are, and the next day they're like, he's trash, he robbed me, all of you, all of his family needs to leave me alone, and then the next day they're back together.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that book felt. But, like, not in a fun way. In a, like, this girl is, well, one, something I didn't even think about looking back to the 9 months ago when I read it.
Yeah.
I DNF'd the book, by the way. 10 minutes left, didn't finish it.
Fuck.
I made it to that point, I was like, you know what, it's not worth it for me.
Fuck.
A lot of the few negative reviews I saw, which is what's really confusing to me, all 5 stars, except for, like, 2 or 3 people. The character is supposed to be Latina, and she will not let you forget it. And she uses some, like, on the precipice of slurs.
Is the author Latina?
No. Yeah. So that is a very notable qualm that people had.
That is a very valid qualm. Yeah.
The way I looked at it was I looked at the people on Facebook who are, like, that I already described.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think I have heard similar things come out of their mouth. So yeah. I was like, you know, it could just be, like, character trait. Makes sense.
But, like, why write that character?
Wonderful question. I don't need to know the answer from this woman. I'm okay. But, like, other than that, so she's the rock star guy. Not a rock star when they start dating. But it's, like, she's 20 years down the line in a car driving and, like, reflecting back on these relationships for something. Confusing. Also, each chapter starts with a link to a Spotify song, which just reminds me of Wattpad.
Yeah.
So I just think,
see, this is related to a conversation we were just having, which is that I think I need to stay away from self-published books for a little while.
Yeah, it looks self-published, but, like, again, it came recommended. So I was like, I'm gonna read this.
I have been recommended plenty of self-published books, and then I read into them, I read them or I start them, and I'm like, this needed to go through several more rounds of editing.
That's the problem, is you write the book and you just think you're like, this is great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to look at it ever again. Yeah. Let's get it out.
That's how I wrote all my essays in undergrad.
That's how I will continue to write anything ever.
Yeah. Would not have worked in my master's. And that's, like, my thought process is, like, it took me a single essay to realize, oh, I need to read these. And nobody even graded that essay. I was like, no, I need to step up my game because this is real.
Mm.
And I think if you're going to self-publish, I don't have anything against self-publishing itself.
Have a friend take a peek.
Have a friend take a peek. Have a different friend take a peek. In fact, have several friends take peeks.
Have enemies take a peek.
Exactly.
Have somebody who doesn't like you read it.
Yes. Have somebody who doesn't like reading read it. Even if they just read sections of it.
Yeah.
Because you can see a lot more from the book than you could, like, if and when I'm writing, I would definitely have you read it.
Thank you.
As, like, a beta reader, like, as, like, a first time.
Okay, first time I'm an alpha.
Oh, sorry. I forgot that those were alpha readers. But, like, as, like, a first round of edits kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because, one, you like reading enough that you would be nice. But two, you would be, like,
if it's not five stars, enough. I will tell you it.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I wouldn't give you, I mean, I'm talking about giving you, like, first draft. Like, there's kind of, like.
Oh, I'll destroy it.
Yeah. But then you'll also, like, you won't destroy it because you don't like reading.
No. You'll destroy it because it needs
to be fixed. Yeah. Exactly. Like, that is the point of having those. And I'm like, there's the benefit, one of the major benefits of traditional publishing, and I won't say that traditional publishing only has benefits. There's definitely downsides.
Yeah.
Is that, like, they know the point when to stop editing, and self-publishing, you're on your own for that.
Correct.
And self-publishing, you have to know the answer to those questions, or you have to know somebody who knows the answer to those questions. One of the series that I had a big issue with that with was the Glint, the Plated Prisoner series.
Was that Guild?
Guild, Glint.
Sean called it Gin today, and yeah. I think he is right.
Yeah.
Because I look at that and I said, that says Gin.
Yeah. And my issue with it is that, like, because I think to start there was issues, and so then, like, as it progressed, it did slightly get better. But I was like, I shouldn't be getting to the third book and it's getting better.
Are they self-published?
Yeah. At least they started, I believe.
Bookshop needs to stop doing that, because I did not think that they were.
Yes. And so, like, the very first book isn't even a complete plot.
Okay, I will not be reading this.
Yeah, and, like, it very much read, like, for me at least, and I know this, like, I know some people really resonate with the series, and I'm just like, first of all, I know you'll have an issue with this, but, like, the first book without any kind of trigger warning, there was, like, an aggressive rape scene.
Oh, won't be reading it. Yeah. That's actually why I think I didn't read it, is because I saw that in a review.
Yeah. There was, like, an aggressive rape scene that was not warned about.
Sweet.
It was not a complete plot.
Perfect.
Yeah. And that, like, very much reads, like, Wattpad unfinished story to me. Or, like, you know, like, oh, it's just a one-shot. I'm like, no, it's an incomplete plot. You started something and you didn't want to finish it, now you're calling it a one-shot.
One-shots can have complete plots.
They can. In fact, one-shots technically should have complete plots.
I would agree, because you're hitting it all in one shot.
Exactly. And so you just starting something and not finishing it does not make it a one-shot.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's how this first book read for me.
I'm going to give you my old fan fictions and call them one-shots, because they're not finished. It's a one-shot. What do you mean? What do you mean I stopped mid-sentence? I don't see what the issue is.
Artistic license.
Draco and Andromeda, we just don't know what happened to them. It's fine. They got busy.
Yeah. Life happens.
Life happens.
And so that was just my big issue was, like, it's like it didn't feel like a book.
Yeah.
I felt like I was reading just, like, somebody's story.
Yeah.
Incomplete story. And then if you want to talk about people acting childish, in book two, she acts like a child.
I hate that. Can't stand it. Not for me.
Like, she's teasing the main guy, and the main guy is, like, a dark villain style. Like, you know, of course. Yeah, mystery, like, evil general of the enemy's army that's taking over their entire continent. And she's just teasing him like a schoolgirl. And I'm like, I hate this. I actually loathe that dynamic. There's Grumpy Sunshine, but that's not Grumpy Sunshine. That's, like, two different characters who were not meant to be together.
Yeah, the chemistry's off.
Yeah. Yeah, I never for once got the chemistry between them. So do not read those books.
I'm not planning on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to just go back to Drive because I'm still furious about it now and I'm wound. She has two love interests in this book.
Okay.
One is the guy that turns into a rock star.
Yes.
Really abusive man.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Lovely. Like, emotionally abusive. Yeah. I don't remember if he hits her. Might as well have.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was just really toxic, and her family was, like, really toxic. So, like, she was in this weird, unhealthy relationship at 15, and then her sister kicked her out because she was still hooking up with that guy, and it was like, okay.
That'll help.
There was, like, no character that was being a rational human being, and the dialogue from the main character was very, like, she felt 16. Like, very angsty, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then she, like, goes out to get this job at, I think, a, like, music review, whatever that job's called, place. Like, the people that write the, like, for, like, Rolling Stone.
Billboard? No. Is it just Rolling Stone?
It's not Rolling Stone, but it's supposed to be, like, a lower publication that's similar to that. She goes in, and she's, like, very sexually aggressive, flirting with the main manager guy. I don't remember any of the jobs or whatever. And he just, like, gives her a job there. And then they have a very, like, they get into a relationship, like, very quickly. And this
This isn't her boss, is it? This is her boss. Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm like, this is your healthy relationship in this book. Because he's, like, not abusive. He's, like, actually a very reasonable grown-up person. Way older than her, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But, like, there's that ethical line again where I'm like, you shouldn't work here. Like, it's congratulations on being good at your job. But, mm-hmm. like, this is, like, actually very inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And then she's, like, questioning that in the future to go back to this rock star guy, which is who was abusive to her, and is like, oh, but he was in a dark place and now he's grown now. But then he still sucks and can't communicate. And I'm like, everybody sucks. I care. I feel nothing for this. But it was like, I think there you can do a book that feels like Wattpad and me be like, oh, this is, like, sentimental. It takes me back to, like, when I was up at 2 a.m. reading Wattpad stories. This felt like just a really bad brained up Wattpad story. Mm. And there's two books and all of the reviews on it. Amazon has itself has no 1-star reviews on it. Not a single one. They are mostly 4 and 5 stars.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're being removed.
And then Goodreads was mostly 5 stars. There were a few 1 stars on there, but it was mostly 5. But all the comments had GIFs in them and emojis. And I thought, that's a weird thing to do as a reasonable adult. So that's...
Yeah.
I was getting gaslit, and I'm like, I don't understand.
Oh my god, did you hear about the, like, the review drama on Goodreads?
You're gonna have to be more specific, because there's a lot of drama with these authors right now.
There is. I'm gonna go refill my water. Let's do a drink refill if you want. Or do you want some water?
I have water.
Okay.
But get a drink real quick.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be really funny if we finished and you hadn't recorded anything?
Like, well, this is fun. Fake podcasting. This is my favorite hobby, is to pretend to spend 30 minutes setting up and then not record anything. Goodbye.
Oh, Sean texted me. He's going to Scottsdale.
Okay. So,
drama. Before I fully start into this, I don't remember any names.
Do I seem like I've remembered anything tonight? There's nothing in here. Just qualms, but no names. Mm-hmm. Is this an author-specific one, though?
Yes. I think you probably know what I'm talking about.
I do think I do.
The author who, like, made fake accounts and then over, like, several weeks review bombed her own friends.
Yep.
And then created the fake screenshots. That was my favorite part of the whole story. I mean, favorite in that, like, it's so fucking absurd, so fucking tragic. Like, all of these, like, people who are, like, people of color genuinely, like, getting these, like, really awesome opportunities to... Mm-hmm. Write stories in a very, like, white, saturated, you know, sector of our media. And, like, but the fact that she went through all of the effort to create these screenshots and then fucked them up so hard and wrote the screenshots, like a Wattpad interaction, didn't give me any hopes for her book.
If this is the same woman, I've heard her book is not good.
Well, I would not be fucking surprised after all that. Because it was literally, it was people that were, like, not all of them, not exclusively, but a big chunk of them were people of color who were going and being published by her same publishing company.
So, and that's a move.
Yeah, especially because, like...
Maybe she should play Othello.
Yeah.
She seems like she'd be really good at it.
Yeah. But, like, if you're gonna review bomb people... And you're going for the people that are being, like, supported by the same publishing house as you. Then you're kind of forgetting the fact that, like, if they do well, the publishing house has more money for you in the future.
Yeah, and I have to imagine that they get promoted at, like, similar events. Like, it's like a combo promotion at times. So it is a weird, it's just a weird move. Especially if the books aren't, like, the same or similar to yours. Mm-hmm. Like, who are you benefiting?
Exactly. Because she was so concerned.
It's not bringing you anything.
Yes. She was so concerned that they were going to do better than her book. And, like, let's assume for a second that nobody ever found out that it was her. Even though it was so obviously her. If this publishing house unsuccessfully makes several, like, fantasy books they are not going to support you in the future.
Correct.
Because they will not have the budget for it.
Yeah, they're going to say, oh, people aren't buying these. Why would we make them? Goodbye.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, stupid business move in the first place. Terrible friend move in the second place because, her, like, a personal friend of hers was one of the ones that she review bombed.
That's so weird.
It is. Like, I just can't imagine. I mean, it's also, so, like, I think I benefit from the fact that I have pretty decent friends.
I would think that people benefit from having good friends, but yeah. People can benefit from having shitty friends, too.
Well, and I mean, in that, like, in terms of, like, the kind of, like, frenemy situation where they would say something so explicitly nice to your face, like, where you wouldn't expect them to do something like this,
mm-hmm.
I've never had an experience like that.
That's good.
Yeah. I've definitely had, like, friend breakups and, like, betrayals and stuff, yeah. But, like, never anything where, like, they've been conniving behind their back.
Yeah. I think we usually just say you can't drive.
Yeah. And you say that to my face.
Yeah. And I'll continue to until you drive.
Yeah. But, like... to find out that, like, a close friend of mine who was also, like, a close author friend went out of their way to create fake accounts to, like, review bomb my book, that would be absolutely heartbreaking.
It's also just very time-consuming.
It is.
That's why I don't leave reviews generally, because I'm like, I just read this book. Like, what more do you want from me? And now I did it today, and I was like...
Well, that's why she only...
This takes a lot of time.
That's why she released, or, like, she, like, left such an obvious paper trail...
Because she didn't put a lot of effort into it.
Because she didn't put a lot of effort into it. She only review bombed the, like, same people with these accounts. And then all of the accounts also only positively reviewed her book. Because it's time consuming. Because she didn't put in, like... Like, not that I'm trying to, like, you know, be a better villain than her. But, like...
No, you should be a better villain
than her. Yeah, if she takes...
If you're going to be a villain, do it right.
If she takes the effort to, like, do scattered, like, do a few other good reviews, do different ones, not add the same books to the same lists for every single thing, then she wouldn't have been caught. And yeah. She wouldn't have lost her book deal. And now she's like, I'm going to take a hiatus because I need to work on my mental health and alcoholism. Because I only did this when I was going through my mental break and my alcoholism. And it was like, okay, but there's record of you doing this also last year. And you don't talk about that. Were you also having a mental breakdown then and also only suffering from alcohol then?
You know, maybe. Also, maybe she needs to take a break to figure out how to do this right if she's going to do it.
Yes.
Because I'm sorry. I just can't stand for people doing things poorly. Like...
Which I guarantee you her book was done poorly, too.
I'm sure it was. Mm-hmm. If this is the quality of, like, effort she's putting into destroying other people, she's just not putting a lot of effort
into things. She can't scheme right. There's no way she plotted right.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think that's so frustrating. That's where I'm most frustrated here. It's not that she's betraying her friends. I don't care. Whatever.
Oh, God.
Do what you gotta do, girly. But, like, don't get caught.
I've noted that for future efforts.
Absolutely. To be fair, if I'm gonna try to take you down, I'm not gonna do it publicly.
You could just drive. You could drive away.
I could.
Yeah.
I could drive so far.
Yeah, you could. I would take the light rail and I'd catch up with you maybe
eventually. In surprise where the light rail ends. No, I just, like, I just think it's silly. It's just such a silly thing to go and, like, publicly try to take down your friends in a secret way, but then also not, like, I'm sorry, you didn't build a backstory first? When I was making a bunch of catfish profiles on Facebook, it took forever for people to figure out that I was the other Andre. It took so long. It did. And then other people joined in, and then it got really confusing. But you know what? It's because I put in the work.
Yeah. You set the groundwork for that.
I've always felt this way because of that show Catfish. People need to learn to do it right.
Yeah.
If you're going to build a fake profile, build a fake profile.
Mm-hmm.
The circle's showing you how to do it. Like, just do it.
There's also, like, the internet is so vast. Just Google how to successfully... I'm sure there's a Reddit about it.
I just don't think it... Like, maybe it's because I'm trained in, like, fraud. But it just doesn't seem that hard. It doesn't seem that difficult.
For work, you are.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of In Bed with Books, a bookish podcast for bookish babes. Make sure to like and subscribe so you can keep up with all of the latest updates. And if you have any suggestions for authors, books, or topics that you want to hear about on the podcast, then feel free to DM me on Instagram or shoot me an email. I'm wishing you a lovely rest of your day. And until next time, happy reading.